Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 18th through the 20th, 2018, at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 194, Council of Five Nations 2017. I want to welcome all of you, new and longtime listeners alike, to this episode of Wargaming Recon. As I said, it is episode 194. And why is that important? It's because we're going to talk about a bunch of different things and don't expect you to remember them all. Heavens no, I won't. But that's why we have the show notes. So you can always go to wargamingrecon.com/WR194. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR194. And that'll bring you to the show notes for this episode. So you'll have links and all the things that we talk about. You won't have to worry. You can get it there. And then also you'll be able to easily get you show notes for the other episodes and you can listen to all of the episodes through our website, which is pretty handy. So for today, I am joined by the one and only Mr. Mike Payne. Mike, how are you today?
I'm good, Jonathan. And I'm going to comment on how when you open the show up, You look like you're having way too much fun.
We're going to talk about that near the end of the episode because you haven't heard, and you weren't part of the recording, but you haven't heard the previously recorded episode. And I changed things up a little bit because of some feedback from someone who I will name at the time, but I'm not naming at the moment. And it's because they commented about how I sound and everything at the beginning and at the end of the episode. But we're here to talk about a variety of things, but also about Council of Five Nations, which is a convention that I know is near and dear to your heart.
It is. I've been to quite a few over the past, not quite 20 years, but getting close.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I missed a few between the first one I went to and this past one that I just went to, but I've gone to quite a few and had a great time every time.
What is it? I mean, not everyone understands or knows what it is. I mean, I referenced that it's a convention, but what kind of convention is it and what is it?
Well, they're not real heavy on the miniatures, but they have a pretty good amount of miniatures. As a matter of fact, I found out I missed a couple of games. My friend Peter Houston ran a gladiator game and a boxer rebellion 15 millimeter game, which I'm really disappointed I didn't at least get a look at. But I asked them to put some pictures up so I can put them on my album. But they have some nice games there, include mine. Mine's not so bad either.
No, so you were running a game this time?
I ran three.
Three? So was this your standard hang high, or did you do any variations on it?
I did three different ones. I'll see if I can remember the titles. I think I got there Saturday morning. I set up, and first thing I saw when I came in the door was Jennifer Paperman's big Zeppelin. She ran a Pulp Alley game on. It looked great, and she had all these Nazis flying around on pterodactyls. Oh man, what a great looking game! Would have loved to play it. And so I set my game up, and I think 2 o'clock was my first game. And what was that one? That was Searching for Peking Man in Hang High. I might have the title a little wrong, but something like that. And then in the evening, it was Brawl for Hang High. And then I ran the Return of the Hang High Dragon again on Sunday. And then I packed up pretty fast, Jonathan. Amazing that I packed up. That was the fastest I've ever packed up. I don't know how I pulled that off. I got home at a decent time on Sunday.
I know you've said it normally takes you, 2 to 3 hours to set up, and I presume a couple hours at least to take things down.
Yeah,
right?
Well, part of the problem is because I can't shut up, just like when I'm on the show. You know, I just, you know, people come over and they ask you a question, and, you know, they just want an answer, but I keep them hanging around forever. I can't, I, I just can't stop. And that wasn't really too big of a problem this time. Well, actually, it was setting up. It was breaking down. Everybody was at the auction. So there was, you know, everybody was looking to make a score at the auction. So it was like nobody was around. Perfect time to break the game down. And then I went down and shook a few hands and took off. And then as I'm leaving, I realized everybody else that I would have liked to said goodbye to was in that room, and I blew it. I was halfway down the road before I realized that some of the people I would have liked to said goodbye to, I didn't do it.
So they had the auction in like a separate room from the main gaming room?
Well, there's quite a few spaces in this place, and I don't even think they've taken them all up yet. The Proctor is an old vaudeville hall. It's a really cool place. And the thing I liked about it is they set me up, like people come walking in, they have no idea what we're doing. You know, it's just people from the public. They're coming in to buy tickets for a show or something. And then they come over and ask you about the game. Well, there I go. You know, I mean, I can't wait to tell them all about it, you know.
That's good. That's how you grow the hobby.
Yeah, well, that's what it's all about for me now. Playing's not, is really kind of secondary for me, although I love to play. But, yeah, it's fun. You know, old ladies come over and Google the game and ask me questions that I can't answer. it's fun.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, some grandmother come over with a, like, I don't know, 14-month-old. And then she started crying. I hope it wasn't because she didn't like the looks of the game. But it's fun. It's just funny, you know. That a really neat place. And the other thing I like about it is there's a cafe right there on the same level I'm on. So if I want a coffee or a sandwich or anything, I don't have to go anywhere. I just walk across and grab what I want.
That's awesome, because I know you and I have been to a few conventions. We've gone to the same ones like Huzzah and Total Con. We've been at Havoc, for example. And I think other than, like, Huzzah and Total Con, of course, are in hotels. So you have like a restaurant or whatever, but like still you have to like leave the gaming area to go to that. And Havoc, they have like a bar, but you can't really like eat. I mean, you can get something to drink if you wanted. So you could get your cup of coffee, but if you're like, I want a sandwich, you got to physically leave the game and go and get whatever and then come back with it, which is kind of a pain.
Right. You know, the first convention they had there, they were serving food, but I think it turned out it wasn't really, you know, we're a bunch of cheap bastards. And I think they didn't make a score. And
it's hard with any of those consumables like that to make any money. Like, you get it off drinks, I think. But beyond that, you probably won't, which is why I think most of the cons don't actually have any food that they do. Like, it's the venue does.
And Proctor had a bar on the same level, too, which I don't think they've had that before.
Oh, really?
You know, I just looked over. I was over at the registration desk, and when I turned around, I think to go to use the restroom, I go, there's a bar here. Where'd that come from?
Wow.
You know, yeah. So you can get yourself a couple of pops while you're there, too.
So you said that it's not primarily for miniatures gaming. What kind of games do they have?
I think they had it. I mean, I didn't pay much. I don't pay much attention to anything other than what's going on around me. But in my picture album, I got some pretty good pictures of the people that were gaming near me. But downstairs, they had a bolt action tournament. And then there was, I'm not sure what game they were playing. I just kind of swung through and got some pictures because I had everybody. You know, I told everybody I was going to the bathroom, and I was really going to the bathroom and taking pictures.
So you were kind of lying.
No, I was not kind of lying. I was outright lying. And but they, you know, they knew what was going on by then, so I knew I could take off, and they could move the game along a little bit. Plus, I didn't have huge crowds at my game table either, for that matter.
That's unusual.
Well, I think it's due to there was some other really good games going on, and you know, people know they can sign up for my game again. Most miniature games are one-offs. You know, people don't repeat run things like I do. You know, they spend like a whole year putting a game together, run it once, and then throw it in the garage. Which I don't get that, but you know, that's not the way I operate.
No, you have a tried and true formula that you then tweak on the fly, which is great because it makes it different enough that people can play many times, but familiar enough that you can just kind of go off if you need to and the game runs itself.
That's nice, Jonathan. That sounds good. Good job.
It's true. It's not like I'm just not like pulling my hat on me. Like, let's pull random words out. It's true, Mike.
I gotta tell you, I've been telling everybody this, and this was the highlight of my weekend. Maybe the highlight of my game mastering. I had a 10-year-old come over and give me a big hug, and that was like, wow. I think he thinks I did something good anyway. So that was kind of nice.
That is really nice, and that's what it's about. It's about not just with the kids, but of course the kids are a primary area of it, but for expanding it and supporting one another in the hobby and showing that people appreciate when you give back.
Yeah, it was just, I don't know, it was kind of a surprise. Such a great little kid. That's the second time he's played in the game. Actually, he played in two of the games. And a friend of mine, his son had played that Paul Bella game I was telling you about. He had a lot of fun doing that. He played in two of my games too. And he seemed to have a good time. I hooked a new one, this kid Michael. He looks like he's probably about 12 or something like that. And he seemed to have a good – matter of fact, he was the winner of Hang High Dragon. So I think we'll be getting him back too.
Ooh.
Yeah, I didn't set that up. He did that all on his own.
Pretty snazzy.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we had a ball. The dragon got slaughtered this time. They just went to town on him.
I got to say, in the few times I've played your game, I've never come up against the dragon.
Well, you know what? I wasn't doing it that way until, I don't know, maybe this past season or maybe the one before that I started doing it. My friend John Whitehead just says, hey, can you use this dragon? I looked at him, like, yeah, I think I can use this dragon. You know, even if I stop running that scenario, that thing's going to have to pop out of the box every once in a while. It's too cool. So,
you can't leave stuff sitting on the sideline.
No. You know, some of the stuff I forget I have. Oh, there was another really neat thing, too. There was this guy. I don't even know his name. Really nice guy. I see him at a lot of cons. And he gave me this little tiny Buddha to kind of help me dress up the table. It looked perfect on the table. And I ran at LSCon, and he come over, and he asked me where it was, and I'm like, oh my god, I couldn't, you know, all the crap I got. He thought maybe somebody stole it. I'm like, oh, I hope not. And I found it. I don't even know where I found it. I hope I find it again. But you know, so that got on the table. I took a picture just to document that I still have it somehow. So that was kind of nice. That was a nice little find. But I couldn't find the Buddha head. I don't know where the hell that is. Maybe we'll find out at Carnage, wherever it is.
I think you might be okay without it. It adds a little character.
Yeah, I like throwing it next to the Buddha, though.
Yeah.
That's that crappy movie that I was inspired to do that by. That's the way it looked. So that's the way I picture it, you know?
Okay.
And then the kids always want to put the head back on. And I'm like, no, you can't do that. That's like one of my rules that I just will not – we cannot break that rule.
I got to say, the first time I saw this piece, I was like, why is it on there? Did like a kid knock it off? So I went to reach across the table to grab it. I was like, almost picked it up, and I thought, maybe I shouldn't. And so I left it, but I really thought it belonged on top of, like, someone just broke it on you and didn't tell you.
Well, I'm telling you right now, it's a good thing you didn't touch it, because we don't even want to know what would have happened.
So next time, I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to put it back and see if you notice.
Oh, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. I'm already plotting what I'm going to do to you.
I live dangerously.
You no doubt. You'll see.
So what
is? I don't make idle threats, Jonathan.
I know you don't. I'm told I like to poke the bear.
Yeah, you do. You're gonna find out that's not always a good idea.
So no, I just gotta be faster than the bear.
Yeah. Well, you're not faster. I guarantee you're faster.
I don't know about that.
Oh yeah, no, you are.
It's like they say, if there was a zombie apocalypse and you're running away from the zombies, do you have to be the fastest person? And the answer is no, you just have to be faster than your friend. And if you're not, then you just trip them and then you're golden.
I might as well just embrace them. There's no way. I don't have a chance.
One of us. It's like that old that old movie. I can't remember the name of it. With all like the circus freaks. I'm not referring to them as freaks.
Oh, I couldn't watch that.
But they were, in the movie. And the
you quote sat unquote through that normal whole thing.
And she's hanging out with them because she embraces them as the people that they really are. And they sing, "One of us, one of us." It's I can't remember the name.
I couldn't give that 2 minutes of my time.
Our listeners will find it. I'm sure there's a YouTube clip on it somewhere. But
yeah, well, just I won't be checking that.
They'll send it to you. One of us, one of us.
Yeah, that's all. We've already talked about that way too much. All right, back to the con.
So you did the convention, right? And what other gaming things have you done?
Well, actually, I know Andre Krupa was there somewhere running his...
He's everywhere. His immersive gaming, as he refers to it.
Yeah, he was doing that somewhere. I know he definitely was doing that. So I'm sure a lot of people are having a good time with that thing.
I know he's going to be doing it at Carnage, and then he'll be doing it at Total Con.
You know what else they do there that doesn't appeal to me, but really a big deal to the guys who run it, is the Star Fleet Battles Tournament.
Really? Now, that's something you haven't heard of in a long time.
Well, it's big deal there. It is. They've been doing it there for, like, forever.
Wow. That's actually an interesting segue, I think.
Oh, you think so?
I do.
What do you know?
People would think we planned it this way, but I mean,
I guarantee that we did not plan anything.
You know, we definitely did not plan this because I had no idea you were going to mention it. Right. But Starfleet Battles, a lot of people love it, or at least a lot of old time wargamers love it.
Yeah, these guys are all nuts about it. They talk about it all the time. It's like, it doesn't mean a thing to me, but I'm glad they like it.
Steve Parento, who's one of the head honchos over at TotalCon, just a great wargamer, great guy. I know he's a big fan of it. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he loves it. I think Adrian, our co-host Adrian Benson, I think he's also a fan.
Is that right? Well, those guys better get out to Total.
So,
I mean, out to Council. Yeah.
Listeners might know, because I mentioned it a little bit, that in addition to doing the podcast, because I love to be punished, apparently, I decided I'm not busy enough between working a full-time job and having a house and having a family and a kid who's a toddler and doing a podcast that's been going on for like a gazillion years, that I need to take on more responsibility, so that I am now writing. I'm writing articles for a couple of different websites. I'm reviewing video games for alltimegamers.com. And I'm also doing articles and reviews for TSR, the gaming company.
And I saw you posted something. I haven't looked at it yet. Yeah.
So they published a bunch of my stuff on their website, Multiverse. And one thing that I'm reviewing, I do a lot of reviews for them, but one thing that I wrote a review for, which I'm not sure when it's getting published, but it's going to be published soon, is an early issue of White Dwarf magazine by Games Workshop. It's like issue number 4 or something like that.
Have a couple of those kicking around somewhere.
I mean, it was amazing. It's a PDF that they had, and they sent to me, and they're like, "Hey, you want to review it?" I was like, "Sure," because I love Games Workshop. They got me into the hobby, and I'll take a look at it. In there, I was more fascinated by the advertising than actually the rest of the content, because I was like, "Oh, these are things I've heard of." But a couple of the vendors, and I think actually Games Workshop themselves, they were promoting that they had the brand new and wonderful Starfleet Battles for sale, and I remember it being in one of the ads. So saying that just kind of triggered something in my head, like, oh wait, that was the time, really, because like that was one of the games. If you were really into sci-fi and you wanted to do miniatures, that's what you did. And I mean, it's very old school Trek, right. I believe more original series than anything past that. I don't know if people listening aren't
from the conversations I heard, these guys are like you know, chess masters at this thing.
Yeah, I believe it's very in-depth and intricate would be another way. It's also out of print as far as I know, so like you can't get the models anymore. I'm presume you can mock up whatever you wanted for them, and I don't even know if you can get the rules on like Drive-Thru RPG or Wargame Vault or any of that. I'm not quite sure if you just have to go on eBay maybe to get them, you know, third party.
Yeah, they might have them. They might. They got all kinds of stuff.
They were priced very cheaply in the issue of White Dwarf, though, that I looked at.
Oh, yeah, how much?
I'd have to pull it up. But it's from like 1970-something, 1974, 1975, something like that. And I'm going to say it was under 5 pounds. And
That doesn't mean a thing to me. 5 pounds.
It's like, I don't know, it's like 10 bucks, under 10 bucks or something like that.
Oh, okay. Now you're talking my language. I think that's what American.
I'm probably wrong. any of our British listeners who would recall what it was from 1970, blah, blah, blah.
They're lucky they can't call in right now. We'd be getting barraged.
Yeah, they'd be like, why can't you do this? It's so simple. And I'm sure it is. This is one of my traits. One of my strengths is that I just muddle things when it comes to this. There's some price like that. I probably wrote about it in the article when it comes out on Multiverse.
When are we all going to be just using dollars? You know what I mean?
You should just look at that. Well, it's funny because, I mean, so many countries use dollars. Like Canada uses dollars. And
yeah, everybody should.
A lot of them do. Australia does.
Right. Or we should all use pounds, one or the other. You know, just the same thing.
But then, like, they don't even only use pounds because they are, at least at the time of this recording, still members of the European Union. So they use the euro as well. And it's,
yeah, well, I don't want to learn anything new. Forget about the other. You know, I'm on a regular standard tape measure. I can't do the what is that anyway?
Metric.
Yeah.
We are one of three countries in the world, like Nigeria and Zimbabwe or something like that, are the other two that still use standard.
Yeah, I can't do that. Somebody was running a game and they were using that, and I'm like, oh, really? You know, let's break it down to a tape measure for me. I felt like I was at a huge disadvantage. I was.
You weren't familiar with
that. Yeah, I was. That was horrible.
And yet, when we get a mini, we're like, this is a 28 millimeter miniature. We don't say this is a, whatever that is in inches. This is 1/8 of an inch mini. We don't say
that kind of bugs me too. It's like, what scale is it? Is 22 millimeter? Not 22 millimeter is not a scale.
Yeah, like, what is that?
It's not. It's just something somebody made up, you know? It's like, really?
Yep.
This isn't a scale.
No.
You know, not that I could go into a whole thing on scales with you, but that's just, that's ridiculous. As a matter of fact, everybody's calling it 1/56 scale. And I look at some of this 1/56 scale stuff, and it just doesn't really look right to me either. You know, I mean, I guess it is, you know, it's close enough and all that, but I don't know. Like 1/48 is too big. You know, you can't win.
No, you can't. But it's interesting because I know a topic that comes up a lot, at least on the gaming magazines, you'll see they review, they'll be like, we're going to look at 15 millimeter, I don't know, World War II civilian models. And so they'll have five or six different manufacturers.
Right. And they all look different.
They're all so different. So like, I was gaming, because we're talking about recent gaming, I was gaming with Alex recently, and co-host on the show, and he of the sexy radio voice. So
I don't know how you slipped that in. That's great.
I'm not the one who said it. I'm just repeating it. So
no, he does have a great radio voice. Especially next to us, we make him look even better.
Well, I tell him that people write in and they tell me this, and he thinks I'm just making it up, which is not true. So Alex,
no, not at all. Not at all.
Listeners or some back listeners anyway, thank you for a sexy radio voice. And that's what it was.
Yeah, we're jealous. We're jealous.
But he had pulled out, he's all into now, speaking of 50 millimeter, he's into doing things in 15 millimeter. Because he's
it's a cool scale.
Well, it is. And you can, so many great things about it. We did an episode many moons ago, which we should probably cover again, about how to wargame so that you can do it very affordably. And one of the things that was mentioned was to go to a smaller scale, such as 15 millimeter, because it's cheaper, you can get more stuff, they fit better, and so forth. Which are reasons why he wants to. And he has 28 mil for his fantasy Dungeon Delve war game that he's doing. But other than that, he actually wants to drop down a scale for anything new. And he wants to tackle Kings of War. So he's like, I want to do a 15 millimeter. He wants to individually base the 15 millimeter models. And I was like, okay. But he was showing me some of the stuff he got. It's from Splintered Light Miniatures, I think.
Hey, I think that tournament that I saw, I think that was Kings of War.
It's very popular because people are mad at Games Workshop. And so this company, Mantic, created it, Kings of War, and it's like Warhammer, but different. And so Alex.
Warhammer-like?
Yeah, sure. Similar origins. I mean, but all fantasy gaming has similar origins, right? So shared heritage. So he was interested in, because the rules are free. You can get the rules online as PDFs for free from Mantic. They want you to get it. And the idea is then you buy their 28 millimeter models. But he's like, I want to do 15. So he found the Splintered Light in a bag of, I don't know, a dozen guys or two dozen guys is like $6, right? So he thought, oh, he can get a few bags and see if he likes them. And so he got undead. He got skeletons because he figured they'd be easy to paint. You just prime black and, you know, do whatever. And he pulled some out and he's like, so take a peek. And I'm looking and he has like these skeleton warriors and they are awful. They're just the worst looking miniatures ever because
who made them?
They're like really I wish I had them here so I could show. They're really short and skeletons are hard, right? For any scale because the bones. So you got to make them thin and wiry. But at the same time, if you make them too thin, they will literally break on you. And then it's hard to get them adjusted just right with the proportions. So you want them to be a certain height. Like these were too short. They definitely did not look like 15 mil. And they were like too slender. Almost like the skeleton was emaciated, if that was even possible. But it was just like the mere shadow of a skeleton. But then he had skeleton archers, which looked like proper 15 millimeter figures. So I couldn't figure it out. Neither could he. He wasn't so impressed with some of the skeleton warriors. They were just like, yeah. But it was nice to see, and depending on how he ends up with this, I told him that I would be willing to actually paint some stuff.
No way.
I know. Wow. Like, stop the presses here.
Oh, and, Alex, don't pass up on this.
And we have Model Box to thank for it, which is why, like, I...
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I painted the first figure, and I got the second one, Cormac the Unready or something like that, who's primed, and I got to finish painting, but I lost... He comes with a goat head that he holds up and he's like, oh, I killed this goat person. And I lost the goat head. I was priming it. I was dumb. Put it in my side yard on the grass and I'm priming it. And next thing you know, I knock the box over and I find everything except for the goat head. So I'm on my hands and knees trying to find it in the grass. And I should have just stayed in the driveway, but I was like, I don't
can't even use a magnet for that. Wow.
No. So I was really annoyed, but I'm just going to give him a bloody stump. So I'm working on him and I was there like, I'm going to paint all this stuff. So why the heck not? And then, we talked about TSR a little bit. I mean, your recent gaming has been the con, but for me, it's been like doing things about gaming. So I got a check. I actually got three boxes. One of them's huge of board games that I have to review for TSR. So I get all different types of board games, like Sheriff of Nottingham, and one's called The King is Dead. And there's like the coffee game, which kind of reminds me of San Juan / Puerto Rico. And there's a dice game version of it and just like all this. So it's neat. So they just sent it to me. So eventually
I'll have to play one of those with you.
Yeah. I mean, I always say I'm not going to bring all these games to cons because I never play them, but I'll actually bring some to see if we can get some pickup. Yeah. Well, games.
Don't get a con. I'm not going to play a con, but maybe we can get together sometime.
But I mean, I got a ton of, there's no deadline on these, which is nice, but I got a ton of games I got to review. And so that's why I met up with Alex. So I was like, Alex, what are you doing? You want to play a game? So it was nice. It was like a Wednesday night, a Tuesday night. We got to go out. There's a local game store called Command Zone Games. And we went over there. And it must have been a Tuesday because they were doing D&D, I guess. And so I pulled up the games. Like, what appeals to you? And so he's looking and looking. And he's like, how about this one? So he picks one. And he's like, so do you know how to play it? I said, no, I literally got it today. I told you I got it today. Like, I haven't had a chance to look. And so we look at the rolls and it's like page after page of rolls. And we're like, nope. And so we went through my pile of like five games.
That's the trouble with that stuff.
Each one, like, even if they weren't a lot of pages, the print was, you know, like minuscule.
Yeah. I got a bunch of kids, you know, like my kid would play stuff with me, you know. I mean, you got to sit around and run the rules, you know. And I could send him a YouTube with somebody teaching the rules. He ain't going to watch that either.
No, see, like that I think is easier for someone. You watch like an episode of Will Wheaton's Tabletop and you just learn how to play the game. But
yeah, I think that's pretty cool that they do that. You know, if I really want to learn, at least there's something.
Yeah, you spend 20 minutes, maybe half an hour, and you figure it out.
Right. But hey, I'll
have to read these eventually. So we didn't play any of them.
Remind me to post my album on the War Game Recon page because. You know, maybe some of the listeners want to look at some of the pictures.
I think they would enjoy it.
Well, maybe I just want them to see them.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. But I should have already done that. I didn't even think of it.
Do you know what Alex and I did do, though, instead of playing any of those board games?
Oh, yeah. What?
We played that Travel Battle by the Perry Brothers.
Oh, yeah. No, you guys had talked about that. I picked up on that.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm jealous. I want to play that damn thing.
So it's a lot
I want to get a copy, actually.
It's a lot of fun, but it was interesting playing with him. So I had to warn him that it's been a while since I played it. I only played it once with Adrian, that I didn't remember all the rules. And he's like, okay. So we're doing it, and like I'm looking up stuff, and there's like four pages of rules at most, and most of it's pictures.
Right.
And we get to one point where the premise of the game is it's a Napoleonic game, but it's kind of a simplified version so that you can like bring this with you. It has its own carrying case. You put it like in your carry-on luggage, you're going on a plane, or you just open up a plane on the bed at a hotel or whatever. So it's very simplified. And you have like your Red Army and the Blue Army. And one person takes one side and the other takes the other. You get three brigades. You divide it up however you want. There's heavy cavalry, light cavalry, guard infantry, regular infantry, three cannons, and you get your brigadier generals. And you have to destroy at least two of your opponent's brigades in order to win. And so like Alex had his stuff and he was doing, he didn't think he was doing really well, but he was just kind of not doing a whole lot. But then he was like, I'm going to be really sneaky and try to go around some terrain and add a bunch of cavalry. And I'm like, I'm going to go around the other way. And then I attacked him with my heavy cavalry. And then I lost because it's, you roll a die and it, whoever has the highest die roll. So if you get a six and your opponent gets a six, then it's a tie. But like if you get the two and your opponent gets a six, they win, and then you get to look at the result. And basically, if you lose by three or more, that unit is dead. And so I was like, I outnumber you, and I get all my heavy cavalry, and I'm going to get all these cool bonuses. And so I'm going and rolling, and it's like dead, dead, dead. And I'm like, oh, darn. And as soon as that happened, I had a turtle up. So I turtled up in this little village I got. And he's like, I can't shoot through your village and this and that. And like I'd get bonuses because I had infantry in there for attacks. So like he didn't want to attack me. And so like we spent turn after turn being like, I'm done, I'm not doing anything. And he'd be like, I'm done, I'm not doing it. And we just both looked at each other. And he said, you're never coming out, are you? And I said, you know it. And he said, I have to go in, don't I? I said, yep. And he's like, I don't want to go in.
Oh.
That's a short game. He finally came, and eventually he busted me open and won. But he didn't think he was going to win. I was like, I knew as soon as you destroyed my cavalry that you had the game. But it's a lot of fun. It's like 50 pounds, which is whatever it is in American. But it's odd because he's like, oh, he was really annoyed about it. And he's kind of moaning and complaining about it. But then he's like, I think I want a copy of the game. Where can I get it? There's no place to buy it unless you go direct to the Perry Brothers website. None of the local game stores have it. So like the Hobby Bunker doesn't have it, none of them. And
actually, you know what?
What?
I think Adler Hobby has one.
Does Gordon have one? Because like people should go. It's a great
game. Unless he sold it. I think he had one.
And then you can't even get it online either because...
He can get it for you, I think, anyway.
Well, I would like to think if you have a good friendly local game store and you went up to them and said, hey, here's this game I want, that they would contact their vendor or distributor or whoever to get it for you. But if you don't have a game store near you or you don't have a good one, you'd have to look online. And so if you look online, the usual places people look are Miniature Market and the War Store. Neither one has it. So then you're like, what do you do? So then you got to go direct to the Perry's, which is not a problem, but that's dealing, you got to go overseas and deal with all that and the price differences and the shipping times.
It's that's what I mean. I think Gordon orders from the Perry's. So.
It's just, it's a pain in the butt for a person.
Yeah, no, I think he can get it for you if he doesn't have one.
It's actually, a fun game.
I looked at that post that you guys did about that. And Alex said something about he'd like to have it be the 100 Years War, right? Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking to myself, you don't even, now that you got the Perry's game, you don't need it. You can make your own little setup. You can buy a couple of boxes of Everfix 100 Years War guys or whatever you want to do and just do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you could do whatever.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Just, you got the blueprint there and you can play anything you want.
The game
and I think I'm going to do that. I just haven't figured out what yet.
Well,
of course, I say that about everything.
As it comes, they don't specifically say Napoleonic, but it's intended for Napoleonics because that's their interest. And you can kind of tell because of what the units are.
Yeah. Well, I like Napoleonics.
I don't think it would change the game terribly if you change the units. Some things only shoot certain distances or move certain distances. But I would presume as long as you kept the same types of troops. So, as long as you had a heavy cavalry and a light cavalry and a heavy infantry. I think you'd be okay.
I don't think you even have to pin yourself down to that. I think you probably should try to maintain something along those lines. But I think you could stray a little bit depending on what you're trying to do.
Yeah, you can theme it to whatever you want, 100 Years War or whatever. You can theme it to anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's do it before they do.
Well, these are 8 millimeter figs.
So yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to do it to sell it anyway. I just want to play.
It should work with 10 mil. Get yourself 10 millimeter figs, and you could read them into whatever else you want. You were talking about chess earlier.
1/72 scale figs, and just one fig represents whatever. You know, one fig represents an infantry unit.
This was very.
Chess-like. 10 mil would be good too. I just don't want to paint them. You know.
No.
I want to, you know, just like the game, just a, you know, like a chess game.
Yeah. It's very chess-like.
Yeah, that's why it appeals to me. I like chess.
So it was a lot of fun. I highly recommend it. We're going to do... Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you and I need to play chess. Let's play chess. I challenge you. The gauntlet is down.
I feel like we're in the middle of that 80s hit movie, War Games. Would you like to play a game?
We are.
Nuclear warfare.
Yeah, it's 2017. Here we are.
We'll play chess instead. Yeah, you should get your hands on the game, Mike. It's a good game. We're going to review it on the show at some point. And it's really good because ages ago when it first arrived, the Perrys were so, so nice. I reached out to them and was like, hey, I hear you got a game. You want to send it? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, really? But they sent it so that it would be here for opening day. And then did an unboxing on it. And the unboxing video has a lot of feedback.
So when you did that, looked good. I wanted it as soon as I saw it.
Yeah, we'll share the feedback when we review the game, which I think, I don't have the exact date. We had to push it back because life happens. But I think it's going to be early 2018, unfortunately. So we're going to have to wait a little longer for it.
Oh, well.
We're going to do it. And actually, sitting in front of me, people can't see. You can watch what we do because we get the video. But sitting in front of me, I got a big box of bolt action stuff that I got to do an unboxing of. I got from the war store, so I have to open it up and we'll have a video of that too, so people can see that and everything. It should be a lot of fun.
I saw some nice bolt action games this weekend too. One guy had some really nice Australians painted up. They look great. I wanted to take them home.
Australians, because they just released those.
Yeah, no, he had them painted them up. They look great.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty neat. I got pictures. I don't think those came out that great, but I posted them anyway.
How about we move on to one of the favorite sections of the show, the mailbag section.
This is getting to be my favorite too, by the way.
Mailbag?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm converting you.
Do you believe me?
I do believe you, actually.
All right, because it's true.
Because I tell you, I say this when any of the other guys are on and they're like, really? That's your favorite? So slowly.
That was me. That was me. I used to say that to
you. Yeah. It's a good section because, you know, the great thing about podcasting, and I know not a lot of people get it, but the great thing about it is that you have much greater opportunities for more involvement with your listeners. So like on radio, if this was a radio show and people listen, maybe they can call in, they might get in. But if they couldn't, like, we're never going to know what they think. And they're never going to really know at us on a personal level. But with podcasting, you get that because like you're in social media and you're out here and there and everything. So like we get it. Like they know us. We know them. It's a wonderful. Big strength.
They can get to know us on a personal level, Jonathan.
Well, but because it's a podcast, they can. But if we were a radio show, we would be no different than anyone you like on radio.
They just need to come to the cons and hang out with us.
That does help. We actually have a bit of feedback from a listener over on YouTube because we have our videos on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Those are fun. Yeah.
And they're on there because it's... Well, that's how we record, but we want to make it available so people can watch us. And some people enjoy seeing us instead of just listening to us.
Well, seeing you.
Well, for tonight, seeing me and seeing your avatar.
Yeah, I'm resistant to being seen.
We're working on that.
Okay, well, keep trying.
But also because the videos then go out and they're going to be on the upcoming Roku channel and so forth.
Right.
So listener LandSurfer66 said of episode 192, and that is the Sam Mustafa game designer episode.
He said, that was a good one. I like, quote, Sam.
Ha ha ha. Adrian is so deadpan. Great episode, guys.
Unquote. He is. Yeah, he is. That's so true.
So, LandSurfer66, thank you. And I wrote back to him. I try to write back to any bits of feedback that we get. And I wrote back about, so this thing that we're doing now. And I don't know if people picked up on it, but whenever Adrian and I plan for the show, I always say to him, now put your happy face on. And then I take a picture of him. He's just all straight-faced. Because it started because the first one time I was like, pretend you're happy. And he just looked up at me and he's like, huh? And he had this. So I took a picture and now it's become a thing. Okay, so then we put it up on social media. It will be like, we're playing bolt action. And you'll just see some bolt action minis on the table. And Adrian look like, I can't even do it because it just makes you laugh so much. Hilarious. He really is deadpan, though. It's great.
Yeah, he's great.
And Sam was wonderful to have on the show. I hope to have him back.
Just so I made a purchase. I got the.
You bought Rommel?
Yeah. No.
Aurelian?
No. The
Free jumper?
No. The e-thing.
What e-thing?
Oh, I forget what it's called. You guys were talking about, you know, the ancient stuff.
Aurelian.
Yeah. Okay. I bought that.
Yeah, it's a great set of
rules. I haven't looked at it, but I bought it. I own it now.
It's fantastic. Print and play, and then you can buy the
pre-done
cards. I actually have to order some of the professionally done cards, unit tiles and things, because I keep on missing that.
I haven't decided how I'm going. I have a few different ideas of what I might want to do. You know what I was thinking about doing? You know those, I don't know if you reviewed these yet, the books that have like the cutout Romans and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking about cutting those out and mounting them on 3/4 inch pine.
That would be nice.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that.
You should.
Yeah, I think I will. Because those are not that expensive.
No, not at all.
And the ship one, too. You know, I think that was at the Armada.
Yeah.
I think I'm doing that with those, too.
That's a good idea, Mike.
But I think I'm going to do a lot of things, Jonathan. That's the trouble.
Well.
Yeah, you know.
That's okay.
I got a plan. Will I follow through? Probably not.
Give you enough time and you will.
Well, yeah, I need a lot of time.
That's okay.
Yeah, I have to start eating better.
So you mentioned the Wargaming Recon Facebook group.
I did.
I think that's a great chance for us to make a few announcements, which is we have a Wargaming Recon Facebook group.
Well, nobody knows that yet?
Well, you would hope they would. And
yeah, I was hoping
pretentious with the name. That it has is just, I don't know of a better name. It's like Wargaming Recon fan listener group or something.
I like that name.
Do you? Because I've gotten some flack about it. People like.
Oh, screw them. Let's get some feedback from the flack people.
That's a note to Joshua to edit that out.
Do not edit that out. Don't listen to him. What do you edit it out.
So. People thought it was a tad pretentious, or one person who I'm not going to name.
felt oh, pretentious.
The full official name of the Facebook group is Wargaming Recon Podcast Fan Club.
What and is it, the matter with that?
I'm told. Well,
how many members do we got? Like three?
Oh, I don't know. I don't even look.
Did we start out
like, I look at the group, but I don't look at how many members.
You don't?
I lose track. No.
No.
I don't look at
I think I know how many members are in my group.
I don't look at
numbers. Off the top of my head, I think I can guess.
You got like a gazillion in your group, the Barbarians.
What about it?
You got a gazillion in there.
Push no, I don't. I think I have 404 or 5 or something like that.
That's a lot. I do know that we have over 1,500 official followers of the official Wargaming Recon Facebook page, which is different than the fan group.
Oh, wow. No kidding. So
that's pretty exciting. But wow. For
we
the
got that
the
many people group, listening to this nonsense? Are you kidding me?
More than that, I'm told.
Wow.
But awesome. It's fun because you can just hang out, you chat, and we've had some really cool discussions lately. So there's one that we had. We've been having it's been ongoing. It's been really lively, too, talking about wet palettes. Oh, I never realized this would be so divisive of a topic.
I'm probably never going to do that, but it's a good idea.
See, people are so strongly about it.
I just put out paint that I know I'm going to use, and it doesn't matter to me. You know what I mean?
Like, they definitely have the strengths. People are like, I hate wet palettes, or I love wet palettes. Or like, and I'm like, whoa, it's a wet palette, people.
Just paint the stuff. Cut it out. Oh, Jesus. You guys take this thing too serious. You know, so we're Picasso.
Well, hey, if
actually, you know what? I want to say on air, by the way, that was a nice job you did on that miniature. You did.
Thank you.
You should paint more often.
I am. Thank you.
In fact, I am going to paint a miniature for you. I probably would have already done it. Well, that's probably a lie. But
that is probably a lie.
It probably is. But Mike John said he was going to give me a cowboy to paint. So I'm painting you a cowboy if he comes up with it.
Okay.
All right. I don't know what you're doing with a cowboy, but it might be the beginning of your cowboy collection.
Who knows?
Who knows? Maybe get some Indians.
But it's been said on the show, so now he's accountable, Mr. Michael Johns.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. He'll do it, though. He'll do
it.
He will. But he's like me, you know. He'll do it if he remembers to do it.
That just means people need to prod him and poke him and say, hey.
Yeah, no, he'll do it. He'll do it. He's you know, he's got too many things on his mind. He's a busy guy.
We're going to be doing a wet palette episode, actually, which is kind of fun.
Really?
Okay. 2018, we're going to be doing...
You going to convert me to wet palette? I'm going to be a wet palette painter?
We hope so. So we're going to be reviewing different types of wet palettes. So part of the issue is people feel really strongly that there is no good wet palette on the market, that you have to make your own.
I think the best one on the market is the paper towel.
So, first of all, not wet, but people would say something homemade. So we're going to do a homemade one if I remember to do it. And we're going to do some of the store-bought ones you can get. And then
we're going to do a Pepsi Coke, are we? Yeah.
There you go. And then we're also going to be doing one that you can get only get via Kickstarter. It's called, oh, heck, I lost the name. It's like the Everlasting Wet Palette. And we're doing that because...
Talking about bad names.
Oh, you know, you would think that
Everlasting.
You would think that I would have looked this up, right? Because that would mean I was prepared for the show. Yeah, Everlasting, the best wet palette for miniature painting by Redgrass Games. But the reason why we're able to include that is the people over at the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society, who put on Enfilade, have given us money to allow us to back the Kickstarter and then do a review of it, because it's a product that they believe in and that they think we should do and share information with the gaming community about it. So I'm very appreciative to all of them over there for that. And
that was really nice of them to do that.
They're good people.
Maybe you better edit out everything I said.
I think so. They're not the ones making the wet palette, but they just believe in it.
Yeah, but they're supporting it, though.
So we're gonna have a link.
You don't want to mess with the stuff that they're supporting.
No,
they're supporting you.
There's been a wide.
You gotta stop having me on this show.
There's a lot of people who are backing this Kickstarter, which is pretty amazing. So it's pretty impressive. It's a French company doing it, but like global support for it. People love this. What they're saying about this wet palette.
Get out of here.
It looks pretty neat. We'll have some stuff up on our fan club. I'm laughing not because it's funny, but because. Someone who I'm not going to name, thinks that's a pretentious name, but we're going to have some stuff on the fan club Facebook page for it. And then just want to thank everyone over at Enfilade and the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. You can check them out at wargamingrecon.com/EnfiladeCon, or just go to our show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR194. We'll have a link to that. Who knew wet palettes, right?
I knew that people were doing it. I think I even wet a paper towel once, but
I never knew they were so passionate.
You gotta do, Jonathan. You know what I mean? I want to get a paint on the figure. I'm not screwing around with that.
People are very passionate about all aspects of.
Oh, I know. Way more passionate than I am. I know. They're all out there cringing hearing me say this stuff. But,
they probably are.
You know, and they do, you know, a lot better finished product than I do too. So I'm not criticizing.
I don't know about that. Don't knock yourself down.
No, I'm not knocking myself down. I'm being truthful. I mean, that there's no way I'm bringing my stuff to the level that some people do and then letting the kids play with it. What are you, nuts? Am I nuts? No way. No way. I mean, I try to do a good job because I can look at it. If I'm going to do some of that, like, I wouldn't put yours on the table.
Really? Why not? Well, I'll let my 2.5-year-old play with it.
Well, then you better bring it down. If you're going to take
like,
that
out. She was like, what's that? And I showed her. She's like, yeah. Can I hold? And I was like, sure. So she held it and said it was a baby. And she was really good with it. So I
can't wait till we got her playing Hang High.
I was quite impressed. All about ponies. And
what do you think? Yeah, well, it's a ways away. We'll get it to the table.
We should take a moment to thank our members for the Wargaming Recon Army. So I want to thank Patrick and Kyle from Vermont, because you too can become a member of the Wargaming Recon Army and help support the show for as little as $1 per month. And that gets you, you know, extra content and episodes before everyone else, which is kind of cool. And then we have other backer levels, so you can get things like custom dice, and we're doing all sorts of special stuff coming out with that. So it's pretty neat. Go to wargamingrecon.com/Patreon, and that'll get you all signed up there. It's pretty cool. I'm a big fan of it, not just because it helps to pay the bills, but I just think it's a really good system. I tried to convince you, Mike, to get one for yourself, and you just kind of shunned me, but I think you would do well.
You do, huh?
I do.
Well, it's not happening.
I know you don't believe me.
Here we go again. You know, you know what? I just don't want to go there, Jonathan. You know what I mean?
It is some work to manage that, but you would be really good. And just like I tell Alex, because he's always telling me no, like when I think he should go buy gaming stuff, eventually I will wear him down. And I will wear you down too, because I'm really good at that.
You will not wear me down.
I am persistent.
You will wear down your wear down, trying to wear me down.
I am too dumb to know when to stop.
Well, you don't have to stop. You can go right on. Keep on keeping on.
That's what that mute button's for. Don't want to hear him anymore. Click.
Oh, man. Oh, by the way, I got some really neat dice from console. They gave the Game Masters five dice with the Indian with the bow and arrow on it. They look really cool. And I got a Game Master t-shirt. They give Game Masters t-shirts, by the way.
Whoa, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty awesome. I have a shitload of them. You're going to have to edit that out.
Yeah, Josh.
Josh, sorry, Josh.
He should really know better that whenever I tell him you're going to be on the show, he's going to have his work cut out for him.
Yeah, that's not fair.
I don't have this trouble with any of the other guys.
Really?
Really?
Come on, Adrian. Step up to the plate.
I mean, out of all of them, he's the one who I... No offense, Adrian. He's the one who I think would just be busting out with stuff.
Yeah, well, he's a sailor. What do you expect? You know what I mean?
He's like, it's family friendly, right? Yeah. Okay. I think that's our episode.
All right. Nice job. We're pretty good at getting it done.
I think so.
Sort of.
Listeners should remember... Yes, as I promised, we talked about a lot of... Actually, no, there's one more thing. We did talk about a lot of things, and you should remember the link to the show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR194. But the thing I promised at the beginning we didn't talk about, which is you mentioned about how excited I seemed to be at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So someone named Adrian Benson happened to remark that they thought the way I end the show was a little too enthusiastic, perhaps cheesy even.
Really?
Yeah, they thought it was a bit much.
So what are you going to do? You're going to do something new?
Well, I was like, how?
Or are you just not going to listen to that crap? That's what you should do.
I knew you were going to go there. So yeah. I was like, what do you think I should do, Adrian? And he's like, I don't know. And I was like, would you do something different? And he's like, yes, I would. And I was like, what would that be? I can't tell you because I don't know. I was like, alrighty. So the last time he was on, caught him completely unawares. We're doing the outro and everything, which I'll do in a minute. And so I did the, you know, no matter how busy you are, blah, blah, blah. And I went, keep on gaming. But I cut it short. And I was just like, thanks for listening and keep on gaming. And we were done. And he said, what was that about? And I told him why I did it, which is because of him. I guess I'm throwing you under the bus. And he's like, oh, you got to go back because that wasn't good. He's like, you've been doing the other so long, why would you change? I was like, because of you.
You made me change it.
I was like, I thought I would try it out and see what people think and just, you know, put it out there, like throw the poster on the wall and see what sticks.
So when I listen to that episode that you just put out, that's how that's gonna end.
You're just gonna hear like, thanks for listening and keep on gaming.
I
gotta find
the time this week. I don't want to wait too long.
So it's a more measured whatever, and he's like, that's not you. It, darn straight, it's not me, but I wanted to try it out. I'm willing to adjust. You don't want to get stuck in the mud, but we clearly know that I was right and someone, not me, was wrong.
What happens if I say that sounds better? Well, no. Where are you going with that? Are you gonna listen to me and go along with it?
We threw it out there just to see what people think.
What about feedback? Feedback is so important to you.
Feedback's important.
If one person gives you feedback and says that was fantastic, way better than all those crappy ones that you've been doing all these years, then what?
Hey, they're the one who spoke up. Decisions are made by those who show up.
Oh,
when I learned in my civics class.
Oh, we ain't got time for this argument. We are going to carry this argument on, though, by the way.
Well, I'm sure. Mike, thank you very much for coming. You've been a very busy guy lately, so I appreciate you taking the time out of your very busy schedule to come on over to the show.
That was fun. It was fun. I'm glad I came.
Yeah, I'm very glad you're here too. And I want to thank everyone else for listening to this episode of Wargaming Recon. As always, you can get all the things we talked about by going to the show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR194. And you can see everything there and all of our other shows. And we're all over the place. We're on social media. We're on iTunes. We're wherever you can get a podcast, you can get us, because we are just that awesome. And no matter how busy you are, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how much time you're thinking about preparing for or recuperating from a favorite gaming convention like Council of Five Nations, you know that you have to, you need to, you gotta keep on gaming.
Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon on your mobile device. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other good shows on the network. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew.
Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 18th through the 20th, 2018, at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.